And in this case, what happens is we don't so much break our mineral up into individual ions that are just floating around in the water. We're going to break some of the ions out, and they're going to float around in solution. But we're also going to create a new mineral, a clay mineral. And so anytime you have something like a feldspar or a pyroxene or any mineral that's a silicate mineral, so it has silicon and oxygen in it, if you add a little bit of water, over time, you're going to produce some material that's going to go into solution, and you're going to produce clay. If you look really closely, for example, at sandstones from the Jurassic Morrison Formation, you'll see this faint white material that looks kind of gunky, and it's kind of stuck in between all the quartz grains that make up these sandstones. Those are feldspars that have weathered and turned into clay. So we can completely dissolve our mineral, or we can break it up and turn it into a new mineral. But however we go through this process, we're still taking an existing rock and we're breaking it down. Now, we can also oxidize things. This is another way that we chemically tear something apart. And oxidation is just a big fancy word for rust. And so this form of weathering only is affecting minerals that have iron in them. So when you see the beautiful red cliffs, for example, in northern New Mexico, those are reflecting the fact that there's a lot of iron-rich material in those rocks, and it's rusting. And that's what makes that red color. But as you go through the rusting process, that's going to actually be detrimental to the existing rock. It's helping to pull it apart. So we have physically and chemically just beaten the heck out of our rock. It's not a rock anymore. What we've done is turned it into a pile of stuff. And if we have big boulders down to little pebbles, all of the physical bits that we just broke our rock down into, those are called sediments. Sometimes people call them clastics. These are just fancy words for the same thing. We've also created what are called chemical sediments. And these are just the ions that dissolved when we had a rock that was subjected to chemical weathering. And these are kind of invisible because you don't really see them. They're in the water that's working its way through that rock, or in the groundwater system, or in the streams that are impacting that rock. So the chemical sediments, we tend to forget about them because we can't really see them. But we're going to see that those are important in forming new rocks at the other end of the sedimentary rock process. Now, we've got loose stuff. We've got gravel and pebbles and sand and clay and all this loose stuff that we just broke down. How do we turn that back into a rock? Because now it's just all loose material. There are basically two steps to taking that loose stuff and turning it back into a hard rock. The first step is called compaction. And when we compact, it sounds just like it sounds. You're going to put weight on it from more sediments falling on top of the sediments you just had. And as that weight increases, it's going to force the sediments at the bottom of the pile to pack in closer to one another. So it's kind of like when you have that last person who's rushing to get into the crowded elevator and everybody's kind of got to squish back and all that nice personal space that we like to have goes away. Same idea. So that's the first step of creating a sedimentary rock. And I should mention that we have a nice big fancy word for creating a rock from loose sediments. And that term is lithification, the creating of a rock.